Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett and I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa. It's my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring to you some good news in the morning. I'm glad that you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what is happening around Good News Christian Ministries. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are international listeners, listening via the internet. We're glad that you have found us, and we trust that you will find this ministry an encouragement. For those of you who follow the church calendar, this is the first Sunday of Advent. This means that including today, there are four Sundays before Christmas. Advent is a time when we prepare to meet Jesus anew. This morning, I want to talk about preparing to meet Jesus in unexpected circumstances. My parents have a cottage on the Ottawa River up past Armpire, and one of the things that I like to do at the cottage is go canoeing. You know, the river is about 2 kilometers wide at that point. Sometimes the water is mirror smooth, but storms can come up within minutes, and they do. I'm a relatively good canoer. However, there was a time when I was quite a distance from shore, when a strong east wind came up all of a sudden, and I needed to get back to shore, and I needed to get back soon. I was paddling straight into the wind, because if you let the canoe go sideways, the wind would just catch the canoe and blow it straight around. I was straining and I was paddling, and it felt like I was getting nowhere fast. Not only that, days like that remind me that I need to go to the gym more often. I'm pulling and my arms are aching, my shoulders are aching, I'm digging into the water, but there's just no momentum to be had. There's only a few feet with every stroke. I eventually did make it closer to shore where the wind died down, and I was able to make it back to where I started. But that canoe excursion is kind of like a metaphor for life sometimes. Sometimes you paddle hard and you don't seem to get far. The circumstances around you hold you back. The winds and the waves of life are there, and your endurance is not endless. And you just get exhausted, but you have no choice. You just keep on paddling. Have you ever been there? Maybe it's a job that is taxing, or maybe it's a disability that is wearing. Maybe it's a relationship that is difficult. Maybe it's a constant war against stress. Maybe it's your calendar that is unrelenting. Maybe it's the fight with the dragons of your past that are wearing you down. Maybe it's a strain against an addiction. Maybe it's the constant worry that you feel. Maybe it's the financial stress that you're under. But you strain against the wind, you pull against the waves, and you feel the battle wearing on you. If you can relate to that battle, then I believe God has something that he wants to say to you today. This morning, we're going to look at the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14. And when we get to this point in Scripture, Jesus has just fed the 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish, and he sent the people away, and this is where we pick up the story in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had arisen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Been there, done that, figuratively and literally. Why is it that when the storms come up, that Jesus seems absent? I know theologically that is not true. God is everywhere present. But is the common experience of most Christians that sometimes storms come up and Jesus feels absent? Sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. We take no thought of God. We don't take time to connect with Him. And then when we need to connect, we find it difficult to connect. Sometimes, like the disciples' case, it was no fault of their own. You know, storms come. Well, Jesus sent them on this boat trip. While they're on this boat trip that Jesus sent them on, they ran into trouble. And Jesus was not in the boat. He was on the land, and His disciples were far away from land. Sometimes you will be doing all that God said to do, and you'll still find yourself in difficulty, and you'll still have a hard time connecting with Jesus. That is an experiential reality on the spiritual journey. What do you do when that happens? Well, I think the only thing to do is you keep paddling, you keep hoping, you keep praying, you keep looking. Matthew 14, verse 25. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw Him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" I don't know what time they left, but they had been out there a long time. The New Living Translation tells us it was 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not like they were wearing wristwatches. The literal translation is in the fourth part of the night. Sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus came walking towards them. If you're in the middle of a worry storm, when does it normally hit you? I talk to a lot of people who do their best worrying in the fourth part of the night. When the worry is intense, often our sleep gets interrupted. We're like the disciple and we see ghosts, the ghosts of what might happen, what could happen, what may happen, and those ghosts terrify us. When Jesus walked towards the disciples on the water, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him because He showed up in an unexpected way. You don't expect flesh and blood rabbis, the ones you've been following for the last number of years, to walk on water. That is just not the way help shows up. They've never seen Jesus do this before. They didn't even know that He could walk on water. So that when Jesus shows up, they don't recognize Him. They're terrified, and they call Him a ghost. You know, I've had a spiritual director for a number of years. A spiritual director is not a counselor or a mentor or a coach. A spiritual director is one who helps you see what God may be up to in your life. You talk to them about your life, and they're looking for the fingerprints of God on your life. Often they'll prescribe a spiritual practice that will help enhance what God is doing in a particular part of the journey. I've had spiritual directors because I've often found that, especially when things are hard, I can't always recognize Jesus in my life. I can see the winds, I can see the waves, but I'm very prone to missing the ways that Jesus shows up in my life. You know, we all have spiritual blind spots. Sometimes it takes spiritual friends or spiritual mentors or spiritual directors to point out Jesus in our lives. It's helpful to have someone who can help you to see Jesus. Sometimes we cannot see Jesus because, well, He comes in unexpected ways. Just as an aside, I also note that when I cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving, I tend to see Jesus quicker. And often in the middle of the storms, when we cultivate attitudes thanksgiving despite the circumstances, we tend to see Jesus quicker. But we have blind spots, and we need to take the opportunity to look for Jesus. Well, right now we're going to contemplate on that as we listen to Steve Curtis Chapman, and he's going to sing "Be Still and Know."
Consider all stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still. Be still, and know that He is God. Be still.
The disciples were out in the storm, and they think they see a ghost, and they cry out in fear. Verse 27 says, "But Jesus spoke to them at once. 'Don't be afraid,' He said. 'Take courage. I'm here.'" The first thing that Jesus wants the disciples to know, that He is there. He is with them, and He urges them to have courage. Or as the translation puts it, take heart. That is not a bad thing to know in your storms either. Jesus is with you in the storms. Have courage. Take heart. If Jesus is with you in the storm, then you can know that it's somehow going to work out. You may not know how, but it will work out. But you'll notice that the wind and the waves did not die down right away, nor did Jesus come into the boat right away. Knowing that Jesus is with you in the storm is the start of the story, not the end of the story. Verse 28. Then Peter called to Him, "Lord, if it's really You, tell me to come to You walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. I have no idea what inspired Peter to say that. You know, most of our inclinations are to say, you know, "Jesus, You can pray for the sick to be healed, but I can't. Jesus, You can speak with wisdom, but I can't." But for whatever reason, Peter said to Jesus, "If You're walking on water, I want to do it too." Actually, I think that Peter got it right. In the middle of the storms, especially in the middle of the storms, in the middle of the waves and then in the middle of the wind, and the Lord is passing by, and Peter has the opportunity to go on the adventure of a lifetime. He says, "Lord, call me to walk in the water, and I will." I think there are moments when the Lord comes to us all, and we have the opportunity to do the same thing, but at the same time, you and I get scared to death. What do you choose, the water or the boat? The boat is safety, security, comfort. The water is rough, the storm is real, and if you get out of the boat, there is a good chance you might sink. John Ortberg, in his book entitled, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat," says that you need to ask the question, what is your boat? Your boat is whatever represents safety and security to you, apart from God. Your boat is whatever you're tempted to put your trust in, especially when life gets stormy. Your fear will tell you what your boat is. For some, their boat is their vocation, when they know they're called to another. Others, it's past success. For others, it's a relationship that's not God-honoring. For others, it's a regular paycheck. Is there an area in your life that you are shrinking back from trusting God? Because of the storm and the wind, some people decide to never leave the boat. But you need to know something. There are no guarantees that life in the boat is going to be any safer. Eileen Gruder wrote these words. You can live on bland food so as to avoid an ulcer. Drink no tea or coffee or other stimulants in the name of health. Go to bed early. Stay away from the nightlife. Avoid all controversial subjects so as to never give offense. Mind your own business. Avoid involvement in other people's problems. Spend money only on necessities and save all you can. You can still break your neck in the bathtub, and it'll serve you right. Well, someone once said, the first principle of risk management is that everything is risky. If you're looking for absolute safety, you've chosen the wrong species. Well, the boat or the water. Peter decides to go to Jesus. That's a good decision, but it's a decision that is not without risk. Verse 28, and Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Well, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? So Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on water. Only person other than Jesus that I know actually to do that. Then he takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to see the power of the wind, and he starts to see the power of the waves, and then he starts to sink. But he calls out to Jesus. Good move. And the Bible says that immediately Jesus reaches out and takes hold of him. When you're close to Jesus, rescue is never far away. Yeah, he got wet, but he was rescued. Some people look at Peter and say, what a failure. I don't know. It seems to me that the Peter had a better story to tell than the other 11 sitting in the boat. Jesus says to Peter, you have so little faith. What I love is that Jesus says this while they are still out of the boat. Some people hear this as a condemnation. I hear this as a teachable moment that Jesus takes advantage of. The lesson was clear. Whether he walks on water or sank depended on who he focused on, Jesus or the storm. It depends on which he believed had more power, Jesus or the storm. Jesus lets him know that because he wants Peter to grow, that it's going to be faith. And it's going to be focus on who he is. It was Peter's willingness to risk failure that helped him to grow. And I'll tell you this, growth matters. Sir Edmund Hillary, the first person to succeed at climbing Mount Everest, made several unsuccessful attempts before he finally succeeded. After one attempt, he stood at the base of the giant mountain, and he shook his fist at it. And he said, I will defeat you yet, because you're as big as you're ever going to get, but I'm still growing. Every time he climbed and he failed, but every time he failed, he learned something. And every time he learned something, he grew and tried again, and one day he didn't fail. Jesus is still looking for people. People who are willing to get out of the boat. It's the only way to real growth. It's the only way that true faith develops. It's the alternative to stagnation. It's part of discovering your calling. But the big reason to get out of the boat is because, well, that's where Jesus is. Yeah, I often find that this is my problem. I want to encounter Jesus, but I don't want to exercise faith. Maybe you have that problem too. You know, Mary was told that she would become pregnant even though she was a virgin. She had to exercise faith to encounter Jesus. Joseph was going to break up with Mary and go his own way, but he had a dream saying that what was happening was of God. He had to exercise faith to encounter Jesus. The shepherds in the field were watching their flock at night. Angels appeared to them. A heavenly choir sang to them. But they had to believe what the angel said. You're going to find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. They had to exercise faith to encounter Jesus. The wise men from the east saw a star rising, and they believed that star showed that a king was born. And they believed that God was showing them that, and they had exercised faith to encounter Jesus. and you will have to exercise faith to encounter Jesus. Because Jesus seems to show up in unexpected circumstances. He shows up in the middle of a boat trip gone bad, walking on water, in a way that's hardly believable. He shows up in a stable, in a manger. That isn't the first place you'd go to look for God's Son, the Messiah. Could it be that he'll show up in circumstances that you don't expect him to? Could he show up in the middle of that situation that you've just continued to live with? Could he show up in that workplace that is far less than optimal? Could he show up in that marriage that is cold? Could he show up in that kid who's rebellious? Could he show up? Not only can he will, but you'll have to exercise faith, get out of the boat, and meet him. I expect that if you start looking in faith that you may see him. So here's the challenge. Look for Jesus in your storm, and when you think you see him, exercise some faith. Step out of the boat, move towards him. If you do this, you're going to grow. You're going to exercise faith, and faith has an amazing track record of producing results for those who exercise it. My prayer for you is that you would encounter Jesus. I hope you encounter him in prayer and in worship, but I think there are some unexpected ways that he may show up in your life. My prayer is that you'll be willing to step out of the boat in faith. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for opportunities you give us to grow. Lord, I pray for those who are in the middle of the storm right now. I ask that you would give them great grace and great faith to be able to meet you where you're at. Lord, they may feel a long way from you right now, but I pray that as you show up in their life, you would give them eyes to see who you are and that they'd walk towards you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if good news in the morning has been a factor in your journey of faith, we would love to hear from you. Nothing encourages more than hearing stories of people's faith growing because of what you've heard. You can contact it by email or Twitter or via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. And thank you for listening this morning. This program is aired by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. If you can help us financially, we would appreciate it. You can give by going on our website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can make a check payable to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. I want to put a challenge out to those of you who are listening outside of Canada. We would love to see you log on to our webpage and just leave a dollar or a euro, something like that. That would really be appreciated as well. But we want to bless you because of what God has done for us. Our prayer is that you would know Jesus personally and profoundly and that God would show up in your life. We're going to send this out by listening to Brian Dirksen, It Is Well With My Soul.
My soul.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFR.